Hey everybody, welcome back to Java with Sugar, the Coffee Break podcast. I am Peter McMullen. I'm here with our fantastic guest for this week, my colleague Derek Koyama. Thank you very much for joining us, Derek. This is our second episode in our Asset Lifecycle Management ARC, ARC 7. This episode will be discovering, leveraging, maintenance plans and the Internet of Things for your asset lifecycle management needs. Thank you very much for joining, and we're just going to jump right into it. So, just to give you an idea, actually, Derek, I'll let you introduce yourself right out the gate, just so that the fine people on the other end of this know who's talking to them.
No problem, Pete. I think I'll try to keep it short, but look, Peter did an awesome job. See, I'm official title Senior Director of Professional Services at the Absolute. I've been with the Absolute for probably close to 10 years now, Pete. And I think you and I've worked several years together, and my area of expertise is field service, SFS Click software. Kind of in the large utility, telco, oil and gas space. So, seen a lot of folks try to do maintenance plans, some successfully, some not successfully. And I think it'll be some fun talking points that we have today.
Oh, perfect. I know there's nothing you like better than talking about the silly things that people try and do in their implementation practices. So we'll have lots of that to talk about today.
Yeah, we'll bleep out customer names.
Perfect. So, first thing that I want to discuss is two kind of baseline, a foundational element to this episode. Two items, as they're kind of called out in the title of this episode, right below us there, are maintenance plans and the Internet of Things. So to begin with, just to give a quick explanation of the Internet of Things, it's a network of physical objects that are embedded with sensors or software or kind of any other tech that has the purpose of connecting them and exchanging data with other physical objects or with your devices or systems. This is with the intention of, it's a very complicated explanation for gathering data from your physical assets. So to get a real, benefit from having somebody like Derek on the podcast today, I'd just like to throw it to you. If you could give us some idea of what popular industries like utilities, like oil and gas, like telecom, what you see them using the IoT for.
Yeah, sure. Well, like another thing with, I guess primarily in utility space, people call it SCADA, right? SCADA.
100%.
It's a fancy acronym basically for IoT. But look, if you think about utilities, probably the most folks that aren't in the utility business understand like smart meters, right? That's an easy one to understand of like, hey, it's at any point in time that your smart meter on the side of your house or your condo provide back to the utility and to it sometimes even the user. Hey, what's my consumption like? Do I have any challenges? Is there a power outage? All those types of things that on a utility perspective. But even from oil and gas, I've worked with companies that utilize IoT for propane tanks. So those big massive propane tanks that you see side of the road, they'll measure pressure, they'll measure volume. Identify when, hey, this propane tank is running low, you need to send somebody out. Those would be kind of the standard usage where you start thinking about maintenance plans and utilizing IoT is having the capability of those devices. You could call them, lack of a better term, smart devices in the field, trigger a maintenance event, trigger, hey, this is not working as per planned, or this is not, it broke. Right, and we've automatically switched over to backup. You need to send somebody out now as an emergency.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so that's a great segue into taking advantage of something like IoT, like those sensors that you companies have in the field, and then leveraging tools that solutions like Salesforce Field Service provide you with, right? Field Service comes with maintenance plans out of the box, which are built to essentially a method of automating the generation of work orders based off of either schedule, so once a month, once a year, anything in between, or criteria based, which is what Derek, you just called out there, right? So you can track any type of information on your asset, like your smart meter on your gas meter on your house. And if any of those items drop below an acceptable level, that can be recognized by a criteria-based maintenance plan and trigger. So
Well,
maybe.
what's interesting, Peter, I've seen in the utility space, when you think about maintenance plans, a lot of the utilities in oil and gas, it's not because, obviously they want to do them because of safety and being proactive. A lot of it's driven by regulatory requirements, right?
Oh,
I
okay.
need to check this asset every 3 months and report back to the regulatory board that we've checked it and it's working. Because when you're talking about public health and safety, the regulatory boards take a lot, are very, very stringent with utilities. So when you think about how I've seen folks use maintenance plans in general is, hey, I have this asset in the field. At some point within Q1, I need to visit this asset. It may be running perfectly, but I'm required to do just a preventative maintenance check to make sure that it's good and report back to the regulatory board. Within that 3 months. So we've worked within SFS, and in my prior life, CLIC was a increasing level of severity or priority for those ones. So in January 1, it may not be that important, but come March, mid-March, hey, you have to get this done. If you don't get this done, you're going to be in trouble with the regulatory board, right? And that's kind of, I guess you could call it both schedule and criteria based for a maintenance plan, right? When we start looking at preventative maintenance or regulatory maintenance, those types of things. It's pretty fascinating what we can do.
Absolutely. And so that ties into it all, right? The part of the regulatory board is that expectation. Those regulations come from an understanding of that device and how that regulatory board best understands that it should be maintained. So that ties into things with asset lifecycle management, where the regulatory board, rather than the user manual or your own company's internal preferences, is the one setting the definition for what the maintenance of that asset is.
Yep. And in some cases, it could be different state by state, county by county, province, city by city. Like it is interesting how some of the regulatory boards run and operate. Some are federal, some are state, which makes it a little bit of a challenge to understand and have all these different maintenance plans out there based on, geographical regions.
Yeah, absolutely. Like having all of those different regulations, which then apply to setting up different rules within your system of reference within something like Salesforce, means that it becomes a little bit more complicated. And when we look at things, right, a regulation-based check on an asset is typically going to be fairly schedule-based. And in your example, right, that might up the ante, it might become more of a higher priority as you get closer to that final date. And so that's an area of, like you called out, preventative maintenance, whereas criteria based is typically more in the region of reactive maintenance, where you're trying to recognize something that might be about to fail, something that's going into a critical condition, and then reacting to it without having to have somebody there watching it constantly.
Exactly.
So that kind of segues into another point that I wanted to bring up, and something that marries the Internet of Things, maintenance plans, and then as we start to see a lot more about AI's pattern recognition, ties into that as well, called predictive maintenance. So this is an enhancement upon the preventative and reactive maintenance plans. And it essentially takes maintenance plans from a system like Salesforce. It takes IoT sensors and data and applies it to asset lifecycle management. So we essentially get from those pattern recognition AI, it uses data analysis, predictive maintenance does, to recognize anomalies, it recognizes potential defects, and it recommends repairs or maintenance before the failure can happen. So that's where that predictive aspect comes from it. What do you think? Like, have you run into anything like that where people are starting to use predictive maintenance, Derek?
What is interesting, I'll answer your question with I guess it's not really an answer. Maybe it's a consultant speak, but there is, if you think about 2 years ago, the big phrase was big data, right? It's like, oh, we got all this data. How do we figure out how to use it? You need to hire these fancy data analysts to figure it all out. And it was kind of the hope and the wish that those data analysts would come up with something cool and meaningful to kind of utilities and large enterprise or anybody that's trying to do any type of predictive. The hard part was it came out of, it is a challenge. There's a ton of data, right? And I think when you start looking at what's available now today in the industry is AI, is that that AI individual or persona that has been trained has been, prepped to perspective of, hey, yeah, I'm going to be your data analyst, right? And I'm going to do all these calculations and tell you, hey, based on the last 10 years of data on and within this geography or within this area, this is what I think would be the best maintenance plan, predictive maintenance plan for you for that asset, right? And we've started to have some discussions. I'll be very frank. There's a lot of folks are talking about doing it. AI generally in the utility space is fairly new. And because there is a lot of health and safety, obviously you're dealing and specifically even with oil and gas, you're dealing with consumer health and safety. There is some hesitancy to push down that AI path, but there is significant value in combining maintenance plans with predictive maintenance. So in that instance where it was like, hey, sometime in that first quarter, I need to go, right? But if you can envision a world where it's sometime in this first quarter, I need to go, when in that first quarter is the best time to plan this event, right? So I'm not having a rotating schedule. It's, yeah, we should go in February based on all this historical data. This asset, tends to fail this way in this type of environment. And even more so, this is the type of skill that we should be sending out, right? It's not just, some of these assets are very, very complex, and you may need an electrician versus a data configuration versus a lineman, for example, right? So it's not only do you need to do this maintenance, it's what type of individual or what type of skill would you want to send to that person, right? And trying to comb through dozens of years of data on assets and geographies and potentially even weather patterns for temperature is, not something that a person's going to be able to do in any short period of time. So it is, I feel very strongly that it is the future utilizing AI to manage that big data. It's the hard part is making sure that you are configuring that AI properly. And I can't remember the term, Peter, of like training that AI to do the proper tasks, right? To identify who needs to go where and when.
Absolutely. I think that that's a great way to cap off our episode here, especially because next episode we'll be discussing with Stephen, who has become a bit of an AI guru amongst our team. So we'll be discussing with Stephen some of the trends and future options for asset lifecycle management. But we've reached the end of our episode. Thank you so much for your time, Derek. I really appreciate it. Just to kind of go over what we've done today, we talked about the Internet of Things, maintenance plans, and predictive maintenance plans, and how they all tie together to best add to your asset lifecycle management. As I said, our next episode will be on the trends and future of asset lifecycle management. Again, and as always, subscribe to get email reminders when new episodes are out. Follow the podcast LinkedIn page to stay up to date, which I know Derek does. Visit the dabsolute website and contact us for custom demos. Thank you very much for listening to the Java with Sugar podcast. Thank you very much, Derek, and we'll see you next time.